that just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus. So
this is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
I'd like us to consider a meditation, a brief meditation before our Lord's Supper this evening. Along these lines, taking his own life into his hands, taking his life into his own hands. We sometimes talk about somebody being in a dangerous position or a dangerous situation. And we say, oh, this is treacherous. I feel like I'm taking my life into my own hands. And in the picture of the Lord's Supper, we see Jesus taking his life into his own hands. Scripture makes it very, very clear that Jesus' death was not an accident. It was not a case of Jesus having lost some political or cosmic struggle. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't unforeseen. Jesus determined the time, the means, and the location of his very own torture and execution. Think about that. Jesus chose the time and method of his own execution. It was anything but an accident. Turn, please, to John chapter 10 as a preface to our primary text this evening. John chapter 10. Jesus wasn't surprised by his death. It wasn't something he sought desperately to avoid. It was no accident. When we hear of somebody dying for other than medical or old age reasons, especially in a violent manner, we tend to think that they were overcome in a struggle. Somebody took them. Somebody overpowered them. Such was not the case with our sacrificial lamb. Look at John 10, 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. It's a very strong statement. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This is the commandment have I received of my Father. I'd like to develop this thought then from Matthew 26, if you'd join me now in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus took his life into his own hands, literally in the sense that he laid down his life. The nails aren't what held him to the cross. It wasn't the strength of the soldiers that allowed them to beat him, or their tactics or speed that allowed them to pull his beard. Jesus gave his back to the smiters. He offered his cheek to them that pluck out the hair, as surely he must have given his arms and feet to those who nailed him to the cross. In another sense, however, we see at this special supper in the upper room that Jesus took his life into his own hands. Matthew 26, verse 26. They're having this meal. Jesus tells them he's going to be betrayed. They're asking, is it I? And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they'd sung a hymn, They went out into the Mount of Olives. I was struck by the fact that he said in verse 26, this bread is a picture of, it represents my body. And as he was saying that, it was in his hands. So he literally took his own life, his body, if you will, in his hands. And then he did some things with it. And those will be the points of our meditation this evening. Look at verse 26 again with this picture in mind of Jesus taking his life into his own hands. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread. He took it. Jesus took that which represented his life. And it reminds me of his humiliation in incarnation. Certainly the cross was a humiliating experience to be nailed, bleeding, and groaning naked publicly for ridicule and scorn was surely humiliating. But for the God of gods, for the creator of the universe, to be put inside a body like this was a humbling experience in itself. Jesus condescended to us. He came to a low level in taking on a body. He came to know blisters and bruises, scrapes and scratches. Jesus became acquainted with weariness. Jesus, the God who says, I never slumber nor sleep, got tired, and beyond that, he got weary. Jesus, the bread of life, knew hunger for our sake. The living water knew what it was to be thirsty, to be parched, to desire something wet on his palate. Have you considered the Creator with a headache? Jesus said that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I have a pretty comfortable bed and pillow. I still get crooks in my neck sometimes. And for like 2 days, you go around, hi, how are you? Why are you looking at me like that? No, I'm fine. Oh yes, my neck, I remember. I slept funny on it and it just won't work. God, no doubt, somewhere in his 33 years, got a crook in his neck. How humiliating. Why should the King of creation have the hiccups? He humbled himself. He took a body. And yes, he took the bread as a picture in this special supper. He took on a body. It says elsewhere in prophetic scripture, a body thou hast prepared for me. And he took the body that the Father prepared for him. Number two, verse 26 says, he took bread and blessed it. Brother Bender was mentioning Southern vernacular, and I don't know if this is strictly Southern or if this is just certain circles of Baptist churches. There's a difference between Baptist spelled with a P and Baptist spelled with two B's. You know a Baptist church? Yes. If you've been to a Baptist church, they have good potlucks there. And at a Baptist church, you'll often hear folks say, Sister so-and-so, would you say the blessing? And what do they mean? They don't mean you bless the food with some incantation. They mean give thanks for the food, right? And I think Northerners do that too. Do Northerners say that, say the blessing? Would you bless the food? Do you say that up here? You're a transplant, or by marriage. It's a good vernacular. It's a good way of saying it, because that's what it says here. And the connotation of the word blessed here doesn't just mean that Jesus, because he was God incarnate in some special way, put a spell on the food. It's parallel in the second part. When he has the cup, it says not that he blessed it, but that he gave thanks. And it's the same formula. He's doing the same thing. It's just in one verse it says he blessed it, and in the other verse he says he gave thanks. So Jesus took the bread in his hands. He took his own life into his hand, and he gave thanks for it. How interesting, put up against the fact that that taking on of a body was so humbling. All those humbling things that we just talked about, he gave thanks for that. Do you give thanks for things that humble you? Things that knock you down a peg or two? Things that demonstrate your weakness and your limitation? Do you give thanks for those? Jesus embraced his humiliation. I often try to run from things that humble me. If I know there's going to be an awkward situation, I try to be conspicuous by my absence. I try to avoid situations that are going to make me look bad. Jesus gave thanks for the body that humbled him. He thanked the Father also, I believe, for the means to redeem mankind. You know, if the second person of the Trinity hadn't had a body, without him, our souls would be lost. He gave thanks, and surely part of that thanksgiving was that there was a body prepared for sacrifice. As he gave thanks for that picture, that representation of his body, how ironic, because it was that body, it was that flesh, it was those tissues, it was those nerve endings that enabled him and gave him the capacity to feel the intense, excruciating pain that was just a few hours away. If Jesus had come, as some heretics said, as a spirit that looked like a body, but that it wasn't really physical, Jesus could have, you know, been a hologram, so to speak, in crucifixion and felt nothing. But he had a body, and he gave thanks for that body, knowing that it was that body that would groan and writhe in pain. He took the body, and he gave thanks. His body was more or less like yours and mine. He may have been taller or shorter. He may have had broader shoulders or more slender frame. But basically, he was just like you and me. And all of us have a very strong set of reflexes, one of which is a self-defense reflex. If you have ever tripped, you didn't have to think about putting your hands out to break your fall. I continue to be amazed at how lightning fast the reflexes of our eyelids are. I've done some stupid things in the shop now and then, and something comes flying towards me without my goggles on. I am doing better about wearing goggles, by the way. But there's been times when I've blinked and something has been repelled, and I think, that thing had to be flying so fast because of what sent it my way. How in the world did I blink fast enough to stop that? It's a reflex God gave to us. We have a reflex to avoid pain. We have a reflex to preserve self, whether it's to blink a flying wood chip away, or whether it's to swat at the flies that pester us, or to swat at the mosquitoes. Jesus had that same reflex that caused him to sit by the well when he was weary, and that caused him to ask for a drink when he was thirsty. Jesus took a body, and he had those same reflexes that you and I have. Yet Jesus took his own life into his hands. And what does the next part of the verse tell us he did? He says he took the bread, and he blessed it. And what does verse 26 say? He broke it. He broke that which represented his own body. You ever throw away a photograph of yourself? Did you ever, you know, draw rude mustaches on pictures of yourself, or did you do that to someone else? It's interesting. We tend not to deface pictures of ourselves. And if someone else defaces a picture of us, we tend to take it personally. That's why it's such a thing to damage a statue that's a representation of someone you don't like. Whether it's the Iraqis taking down the statue of Hussein or any other statue. If you vandalize and cut off the hands of a statue, it's expressing your hatred for them because it's a representation of them. Jesus had in his hands a representation of himself, and he broke it. He broke it into pieces enough to be distributed to at least 13 people. Jesus, who had the same self-defense reflex that you and I have, broke the picture of his body. He cracked and crumbled it, that place that had been his home for 33 years. And if our puny human-only minds can make calculations at the rapid rate at which we do, I can only imagine that when the incarnate Son of God broke that picture of his body, he knew. He knew what each crack and crumble could have represented. He knew each fist that would meet his tissues. He understood where the spittle would land. He knew how many hairs were on our head, he said. So surely he knew how many thorns would pierce his brow. And as he broke that bread, he knew that it meant something. It was a representation of what was about to happen to him for real. The whipping, the punching, the spitting, the mocking, the nailing, the hanging, the piercing. Jesus took his own body into his hands. He blessed it. And he knowingly broke it. Having done that, verse 26 tells us that he gave it to the disciples. He took that broken bread and he said, "Take, eat. This is like my body that is going to be broken, and it's for you." Scripture doesn't say that he named them, and I doubt that he did. But in his heart, "Peter, this bread is broken for you. James, I'm going up that mountain for you. This piece is for you. This piece is for you." And he gave them that picture of his broken body. He didn't just offer it blandly. Sometimes people offer us something and we can't tell if they really want us to take it or not. Jesus didn't do that. He said, "Take, eat." With the cup, he said, "Drink ye all of it." And whether the "all" was all 12 of you or whether the "all" was the entire cup, the emphasis is still basically the same. He was urging it upon them. Jesus' gift of eternal life is not passive or bland. He urges us, "Please take this gift that I have for you." He's not willing that any should perish. He is the propitiation, not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus took his life into his own hands. He took the body. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it by illustration to you and to me.
Isn't that just like the Lord? So very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.